for, so.
You can go.
Shall we get started?
We're done.
I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Meridian Development Corporation. It's 4:00 on February 26, 2020. We'll do roll call. Commissioner Mueller's not here. Commissioner Vlasic?
Here.
Commissioner Basilone?
Here.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Here.
Commissioner McCarville?
Here.
Commissioner Bevan is not here. Commissioner Byrne?
Here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Here.
Council Villegas?
Here.
And Administrator Squires?
Here.
All right. Do we have a motion to confirm the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the agendas printed.
Second.
So a motion by Commissioner DeBeard, a second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Sounded unanimous to me that agenda's confirmed. Onto the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the January 22nd, 2020 regular meeting and the January 2020 financials and notices of bills paid. Do we have a motion on that?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Basilone?
I move that we accept the consent agenda as including the approval of minutes, the approval of the financials.
Second. So a motion by Commissioner Basilone and a second by Commissioner Vlasic. Is there any discussion? We will go to a roll call vote. All in favor say aye, or say.
That kind of roll call.
Just say your name.
When I say your name, tell me your vote. Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
You can sit.
Commissioner Basilone?
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well. I got everybody right. Didn't miss anyone. Okay, good. Just the seating is throwing me off.
Sorry about that.
And the wine I had at lunch with.
That's on the record, buddy.
That is on the record.
All right, on to our legislative update. Scott, you wanna join us?
The big one, Susan?
Sure.
Hot seat.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I have a couple of updates. There's three different pieces of legislation I wanted to bring to your attention. The first, I think Ashley has maybe talked about this with somebody. I know we've spent some time and she's been attending the hearings on these, but the first is a Senate bill, and its purpose is to effectively eliminate the power of eminent domain giving authorities from urban renewal boards. And what they are attempting to do is get a statute passed that says unless urban renewal district is 100% elected, then they can only act in an advisory capacity when it comes to condemning properties. And they would advise essentially the city council or the county commission that appoints the board that's not elected. So there was a lot of controversy within the committee on this legislation, and it was sent to the amending order to get changed to try to, I guess, soften the impact, because the concern is if an agency doesn't have the ability to condemn, it would potentially affect their ability to secure bonding, another form of financing. I got a copy of the amendment that they made yesterday. I don't see any difference in you know, the original bill versus the amended language. So just want to bring that to your attention. I think in terms of this board's deliberation on the matter and the fact that eminent domain or any condemning authority, to my knowledge, and the experts have obviously been doing this in the urban renewal world a lot longer than I have, if it's ever been used, it's been extremely rare. Right. But be that as it may, there's still a contingency out of North Idaho that's
so a solution it. Looking for a problem.
That's Mr. Chairman.
Pretty much.
That's a good way to put it. So this bill will, if it gets to the House, I mean, this is the type of legislation that probably passes the House. We'll see how it does on the Senate floor. Based on the concerns I heard at the committee, I don't know if they've been addressed in this amendment. So it'll be interesting to see what the Senate floor does. There is one other provision in this bill that requires any elected official who is currently serving on a board, like a mayor or city council member, once they're no longer in that office, they have to vacate the seat that they're in, but then they can be reappointed back to the board. So again, kind of a minor technicality, but that's something that's in this legislation as well. The other piece piece of legislation to bring up quickly.
I'm curious, who authored that legislation?
Mr. Chairman, it's a state senator out of the Northern Idaho area, Senator Souza from Coeur d'Alene. She's been known in the past to bring legislation that's not as friendly towards districts and puts the responsibility, I think, back on the elected officials. Her ultimate goal has been for a while greater accountability with urban districts, and argues pretty regularly that all board members should be elected. So, and that's a debate that's gone on for years and years.
Thanks.
The second bill is a bill sponsored by Representative Moyle, and it basically would require, starting in July of 2020, going forward, any new district that's formed, highway districts that would be within that district would essentially have to opt in. In other words, you would have to go to the highway district that would be impacted, get their permission in writing to be a part of that district. Otherwise, the tax increment would not, it wouldn't come out of their budget, right? So they would be helpful, like schools are today, for example. So again, it will only apply to new districts that are formed after July 1, 2020 going forward. So existing districts are unimpacted. The final piece to just mention is the House bill that will, I guess if it passes, will freeze property tax budgets. Probably all heard of this. And the argument is that no taxing district will have a negative impact. In fact, you will get exactly the same, the taxing district says, as you got last year. Urban district, not taxing district, so I don't know if there's been analysis really done to see what impacts that may have on NBC's budget. But taxing districts are reportedly held whole. And that freeze is just for 1 year. And it's to, I guess, give the legislature time to form their own committee and evaluate the increasing property taxes that are prevalent in a few of the Idaho counties to come up with a solution. So it would sunset. But I think in terms of understanding how that may impact your budget as a non-taxing district might be, I guess, important to look at. But again, the intent of this is to not negatively impact existing taxing districts. In fact, keep them whole the same amount. There'd just be no increase going forward. It remains to be seen if it'll come out that way. I think there's a lot of concern from taxing districts, especially fire districts and other districts, to at least try to get the 3%. From new construction, so I think that debate is ongoing and possible that could be amended on the Senate side as well to include that. So I think those are the three pieces of legislation right now that arguably, one, the highway district bill probably doesn't impact at all what NBC is doing today, but as a matter of policy, it's not good policy. Well, I guess that's for you to decide, but from my perspective, definitely creates an additional burden on the board that decided after 2020 to create a new district at some other point. You would have to, and it was an Ada County Highway District, which would be, you would have to go get Ada County Highway District's permission for them to participate. Don't know what that looks like or how that would go, but I imagine it would be fun or easy. So.
Is that part of Moyle's bill?
So it's Representative Moyle on the House side, and then Senator Rice, Jim Rice, on the Senate side. So he chairs the Senate Tax Committee, Canyon County guy. So,
which that potentially does have an impact on what we're doing with the Union Pacific property, de-annexing, creating a new district there. If it doesn't happen before any new laws enacted, then it could impact us.
So there is not an emergency clause, which means that this legislation, if passed, doesn't become effective immediately. It would be effective, there's an emergency clause, so it would be effective July 1st. So that's the date.
And Mr. Chairman and members of the board, if you recall, because of the State Tax Commission's deadline for boundary adjustments, we are working through that June 30th deadline anyway. So we seem to be on track for that.
how much would that, if we weren't looking at the new future thing, like what kind of budget dollars would that affect us in our current environment if it was the same thing?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Fitzgerald, what all I can speak to is what that would look like for fiscal year 19 for the downtown district, and that would have been approximately $150,000.
It's a chunk of change.
Yes, it is. That's 10% of our budget.
Fair amount of our budget, yeah.
I just happened to be in the elevator the other day with Senator Moyle and Council for ECHD, who happen to have a list of all the urban renewal districts and how much Cape County Highway District is quote unquote losing to urban renewal districts. And assuming that the numbers were right, it was a big number. So I think their argument falls on sympathetic ears to a certain degree. Doesn't make it right, but you know, they're definitely working hard on this legislation.
Just getting a fist fight with it.
I tried to.
And this bill is part of the other bill that's limiting the tax increments, or is it a separate bill?
It's a separate bill.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Beard.
Trey, is the city weighing in on any of this, taking a position?
On the property tax stuff? No. The mayor has decided to, I don't think he wants a spotlight on us in regard to how well we've ran our city in the past and our reserves and what we've done. And I don't know if he has that's just basically in a nutshell. I don't know if he necessarily wants to pick a fight right now with those guys. I don't know if he's convinced that by speaking to them, they're going to listen. I know that Senator Winder is an ally, and I think that they've had discussions. But as far as a public statement from the city of Meridian, that hasn't happened. I don't know if it's going to happen.
On the taxation portion, not on the ACHD.
No, yeah, on the property tax portion, the freeze that Scotty talked about.
Well, and wasn't that instigated by somebody in Boise who's trying to take like 11% increase or something to that effect, which is why everybody's freaking out?
Mr. Chairman, that's part of the genesis of this as well. It has to do with the Ada County, their budgeting and how they're presenting that. I know that from direct conversations with one of the bill sponsors. That's a big
so they're trying to stop that. That's the 1 year reasoning.
It's part of their reasoning in general. Philosophically, I think they're very much aligned with that as well to lower, you know, on that 1% initiative, all of that.
Well, then they should stop piling things on the property tax as.
Yeah, listen, Mayor, I think we're all in agreement.
I have another question about the Senator Souza's bill. So, is it instigated from bad behavior up north? Is that, it's not?
Mr. Chairman, so that's the funny thing about, it's the reality of this, it's not. That was a question that she was asked in committee. Is this a potential risk up there? Is the district about to condemn some property? And she said, well, no. But the people know that it exists, and there's fear that it could happen at some point in the future.
Because yeah, otherwise she would have built in emergency clause.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Chairman, I would also add one thing, that there is this interim committee legislation that sounds like will probably happen. I think that's a good place for the city. I know this isn't the city, but to definitely be involved and have some, you know, voice at, in terms of your comment of how it all looks. And so I think that's a great place to try to get a seat at the table, in addition to making sure that NBC's there as well. I know from the Senate sponsor of that, which is also Senator Rice, he has a particular interest in carving up urban mill districts as well. When I say carving them up, I don't mean in a good way. I mean like a turkey, right? He wants to
preserve them.
Yeah.
What's that?
He wants to get rid of them.
Wants to get rid of them. And he and I had a long conversation about how he would like to utilize the interim committee as really as a platform to do that. So I reminded him that we did the interim committee thing a couple of years ago. I don't remember seeing it there, but we did. And you know, we came out of that with a piece of legislation that everyone could get, you know, get behind. And but I think he's more interested in relitigating this again. And for whatever reason, he's got urban mill kind of in his crosshairs, and that's going to be part of his push at the interim committee level. So we'll see how that goes. Well, I think that's an important one to follow as well, that bill, to see if that interim committee is established and, you know, make up opposition and their mission also.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Burr.
So the where I take solace in this situation is I think that the governor isn't necessarily on board with that legislation. I think that he made a pretty strong statement this past week in regard to, you know, his belief is the problem lies with the levies and so forth, maybe with districts, like West Ada School District. But mentioned that this was sort of a driving force of maybe potential realistic legislation that might be coming down the pike, so we'll see what happens. But I personally, I don't know if it's going to pass. I think it's going to be an uphill battle in the Senate. I personally think.
So.
That's all I have.
Are there any further questions, board members, for Scott? If not,
okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Appreciate your time. On to the item number six, the eligibility report for the Urban Renewal District. Union Urban Renewal District. Ashley, you want to have to take that?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packets is the eligibility study that was sent out with the packets. Todd, Council Leakey has had a chance to review this on a couple of occasions and to have his input included. We do have Phil Pushlin here today, who is one of the authors of this document, and he's going to do, I think, quote, a 100,000 foot level review with you and to answer any questions you all may have today. As we talked about in terms of timelines, it's important that we act upon this today in order to have this at City Council on March 10th in order to be able to take the next steps towards the specific plan and being able to hit that June 30th deadline. Phil, would you like to join us?
Thank you, Ashley, Chairman, Commissioners. It's been a while since I've been before you. I drove through the 10-mile district on my way here, and things are happening out there. So, anyway, my purpose today is to give you a quick overview of the eligibility report, and maybe talk a little bit about where this fits in the whole process that we're dealing with here. If you recall, there the new district will sit within property that is currently within your original district, the downtown district. And as you also know, that's going to sunset here in the near future. And the project that is proposed, significant project, which I think is probably a game changer for downtown, needs more assistance than the remaining life of the existing district will accommodate. And so early conversations with this board and others involved here agreed that a process whereby you modify the boundaries of the existing district, basically to take out the footprint of the new project, and then create a new district on where that deannexation occurred was the way to go. And that gives the new district then a new 20-year clock to start. And again, it's not something we're making up out of whole cloth. It's been done, as I indicated earlier, to a group in Jerome and Boise. So it's not something that's been, we're just making this up. It's something to write that process. And also, the discussions we had earlier with the staff was we wanted to make sure that this process, both processes, the de-annexation and the new district were considered simultaneously, so that the whole process could be wrapped up before July 1st, recognizing that there may be some issues evolving out of the legislature, which has been known to happen. We wanted to make sure we understood the rules of the game that we're creating here at this point. And so, so what we have here before you, this eligibility report, is the first step in creating a new district, be it 10 mile or here, is you have to go through and look at a designated properties and determine whether or not conditions exist within that footprint that are consistent with the criteria in the statutes that determine whether or not the area is eligible for consideration of a new district. And so we've done that and wrote the report looking at the defined district, which is basically the two blocks of the Union Pacific property, the north block, as we call it, where the transit agency, Compass offices are, the park, and your small community center, and the library building currently exists in the parking lot, and bringing those into a new district. There's a map that we have prepared on page page 9, which gives you the depiction of the area that includes those parcels and the adjacent rights-of-way, both the public rights-of-way, the city's rights-of-way, and the adjacent Union Pacific right-of-way. Included that specifically because there's some interest in doing something probably within the 20-year horizon of the project that might address a future transit facility that might be happening there, so we wanted to make sure that that property was included within the new district so that if that opportunity presented itself, you could do it.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner
Gerd? Phil, on page 9, it makes note that there's a portion west of 3rd Street that is IL. I don't think anything is IL in that.
Well, I looked at the map at one point, and there was one parcel. Everything has Old Town except one parcel, and at least the map that I was looking at. And so if it's not, then that's not an issue. But I think, at least in the property records that I was looking at, one of the properties was IL.
But okay, if we can clarify that, it's been one of the reasons that hasn't been able to redevelop.
Zoned Old Town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, some of the records that I've had to deal with have been kind of interesting. So I'm not suggesting that my sources are perfect, but I'll go back and verify that. So anyway, looking at that, again, there was a number of criteria, 13 criteria that are listed in the statute, at least one of which must be found within the district, or the study area, I mean. And I've looked at that and kind of described the conditions in the district as I've seen them, and then considered those against the various criteria that are stated in the law. And in terms of a shorthand, I've kind of listed them on page 15, whether they're met or not. And that would be the 10 criteria that are listed. 8 of them are met, and so you have information there that suggests that, at least according to the statutory provisions, the conditions exist within the district to warrant consideration for the new district. So, again, that's permissive, not mandatory. Again, we suggested you have findings that determine that you can do that. We also looked at another provision in the statute which says you cannot have more than 10% of the city's assessed valuation consumed by urban renewal districts. With the new district to be considered, if you were to add that,
you would have 1.54% of the total valuation that the city included, so you're a long ways away from your 10% limitation there. So if in the future you wanted to consider additional districts, you still have room within your 10% limitation to do that. Ashley wanted to make sure I didn't spend an over amount of time reading this to you. So I promised a quick overview and then hopefully be able to answer questions that you might have.
What's the definition of diversity of ownership?
I think generally that is better attuned to a large geographic area with a whole bunch of property owners who maybe can or cannot get along. And so making a significant development happen in that diversity of ownership is a difficult situation. And so I think that's one of the criteria that we think somebody's go back to 1965. Suggest that that would be a problem. I think in this area where you have a very limited number, you've got the city, you've got the library district, you've got the NDC, and the Union Pacific Railroad, all of which seem to be on board with the vision that's been articulated here. I know what my opinion was, that diversity of ownership, while it exists, is not broad, but generally there's broad agreement to have something like this occur, and so I felt that was not far to come to.
Even with the underlying property owners with UP?
Well, that's a fun game. I included that one under the unusual condition of title. Under a different criteria that creates a different kind of struggle rather than just diversity. That is an unusual condition of title that accrues only to railroad rights of way. And so in that, I found there was a criteria that was met, but it was a different one.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner DeBeard.
So this is step one. The subsequent steps would give a definition of the area and eligible projects, right?
Yeah, what we'll do if this board agrees to do this, it formally goes and there's a resolution in the packet. It's transmitted to the City Council, where they would express either agreement or disagreement with this board's action. And if they agree, they would direct the creation of an urban renewal plan for this area. And so if that is the case, we would move ahead and bring back a plan that would basically respond to the issues that we determined here in the eligibility report. Our goal and to meet the timelines that have been expressed is basically to bring the de-annexation ordinance and the new creation of the district ordinance to the council, this body and the council simultaneously, so that the action taken by the council on one of the de-annexation could then follow immediately behind that with the creation of the district. So we get this all done by June 30th, or in place by June 30th. Do that.
Further questions?
There's one.
Commissioner Byrne, will you be abstaining from vote on this, or do you vote? You do. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Usually.
That's what I thought. But Commissioner Beard, you could vote this time.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Further questions?
Thank you, Phil.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you. Well, if there's nothing further, would you mind reading the title of the resolution?
Mr. Chair, this is resolution number 20-003, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, also known as the Meridian Development Corporation, accepting that certain report on eligibility for certain property referred to as the Union District Area as an urban renewal area and revenue allocation area, and justification for designating the area as appropriate for an urban renewal project, authorizing and directing the chairman, vice chairman, or administrator to transmit the report and this resolution to the City Council of the City of Meridian, requesting its consideration for designation of an urban renewal area and seeking further direction from the council and providing an effective date.
Thank you. So do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
I'll move that we approve resolution number 20-003 as read by council.
Second.
So motion by Commissioner Fitzgerald, the second by Commissioner DeBeard. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair, as we discussed, I will be abstaining.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
Commissioner Bassalone?
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. Carries, resolution is adopted.
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner DeBeard?
I guess just to thank Phil for this eligibility report. This is part of our downtown that is the most blighted and has the greatest eligibility. And so I hope that a strong recommendation from the board to the council is articulated.
Should I put it in all caps?
Yes.
Red. Explanation points.
Ready.
Got it.
I mean, this is definitely a part of our community that has been the biggest obstacle for redevelopment in the entire core.
And it's one of the only sites that can be developed easily, at least, or
easily. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, easily. So.
Well.
Where you can get enough scale to do something.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I shouldn't say easily.
You may want to clarify that.
Yeah. Okay, on to the facade improvement grant application for the library district.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not quite sure how I put my name down on that. Typically, I let Mr. Vlasic, who is the property chairman, make his presentation.
Fine. We never had a motion to amend the agenda, so.
Well, I don't want to assume.
No.
I'll have my comment.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
Commissioner
Vlasic.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, at our property committee meeting last week, we reviewed this application in your packet from the Meridian Library District for the Unbound project. I think everybody was very excited to see this. We certainly have been missing Nick and his team from Meridian Library District the last year and a half or so from being in downtown. The committee reviewed the application. It's one of the best applications I think we've received, and that was some of the comments that we received from team members. And I'm going to have Gretchen just quickly walk through some of their proposal and what they're asking for. But generally, it is, you can see through the photos, it is basically, you know, just taking that old blighted building and trying to refresh it, and I think it will be a great addition to downtown. The committee reviewed the budget in terms of what they are requesting from MDC, and I know Commissioner Vlasic has a comment that he'll probably want to make in regards to that budget and one of those items, but ultimately it was a recommendation of approval to approve this grant application. Depending on where we land on one of the line items today, we'll determine what that final amount is, but it would be up to, $52,000. Yeah. So that is where we stand with that. Gretchen, would you like to come up and just kind of give a high, very high level, not asking for a full presentation?
Great. Thanks. Nick is here too. Thank you for considering the application. I'm Gretchen, the library director, and I'm pleased to be here today. We have successfully acquired the building and have been working diligently ahead of our schedule that was proposed with the levy, the facility levy last May that was approved by the voters.
because of the opportunity that we found with this building in particular. And so the architects that we've worked with have really found a way to maximize the interior by the approach that we're presenting to you today with the exterior, which is to install what's called an EFIS system, which is essentially the insulation on the exterior of the building, which will give it a nice, clean, modern look and maximize the footprint for us inside. So we'll be gaining some square footage inside for our services. This is a bigger building than our old building. We'll have all of the same favorite services that people had in the old building, but it'll also allow us to expand by offering a meeting room and event space as well in the new property. So the facade improvement is sort of everything that this is gonna take for us to do the exterior and in terms of the budget. And then we're grateful for the opportunity that the MDC offers for the facade improvement program. And every dollar counts for our project. We are small, but we try to be mighty. And I think that's the best high level I can do, but I'm certainly happy to answer any questions that folks might have.
Mr. Chair, Gretchen, did you actually find out what the cost of that unbound sign portion of it is, or?
What the construction manager had told me was that they would bid it, and he told us to leave the amount as it is, but that they can separate the cost from when the bidding happens for actually raising the letters. If you want to take a step back. So the way the awning is designed is one slab of metal, and the way the architects have designed it is to cut the letters out to fold them up. So it is both a sign and an awning. And the question we were asked following the committee meeting was, can those be separated? Mm-hmm. So the construction manager has articulated they can be separated in the end, but that he said we should leave the cost as is because of the rising cost of steel as well. That I can't tell you exactly what the cutout cost would be, but we know that it can be separated out.
Mr. Chair,
it's the best way I can.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I guess, and it was a unanimous, and we're so grateful and thankful for this project, and you guys did a great job with it. I guess the only question that had come up was if, and I got a little lesson on how Unbound was named and where that name came from and what it means and stuff like that, and I really appreciate that, Nick. Whether that we're paying for a sign versus a awning, where it is two part like that, there was some discussion about maybe does $2,000 out of this budget cover maybe that sign portion of it? And again, not putting words in your mouth, Gretchen, but is that something that you guys could live with as far as a $2,000 decrease if that was so determined that maybe that's signage that we typically don't participate in?
At the risk of sounding crass or unprofessional, we will take whatever we can get. I'll be honest, I mean, really, truly, every dollar counts for us, so we've got a lot of strategies that we're working on right now to offset the public funding so that we can do more with those dollars.
Yeah, and again, this wasn't anything that, this was just a concern that had been brought up by the last, yeah.
And clarification too, that's 2,000 off the total budget cost.
Correct, so which would only be 50% of that. So
that only would be
$1,000.
Correct.
But maybe that was a fair compromise for what we were going and not trying to approve a sign that we typically haven't approved back in the day. Can we comment ahead, Mr. Chair?
Well, I had a similar concern with that just because we've been pretty consistent with not paying for signs for other people, so I think that that's a fair way to do it, unless, you know, unless we had a number. It's just easier to say deduct 2,000 and take 1,000 out of the portion that we would reimburse them. Unless anybody has a better idea.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Beard.
And I know I asked Gretchen, you know, about the white building. I don't think we've really had a discussion in the last couple of years on the look and feel and what we wanted to participate in. But I did express a concern about the white building and how it would fit with what we've been asking property owners to consider in our downtown, and that was part of one of the facade improvements and partnerships we did with the vault in exposing the brick and bringing that warm feeling in our downtown. So I did want to bring that up as a concern. I am a big fan of the library and supportive of being a participant of, because it does create a two destination and it has great public benefit, but I am concerned about the aesthetics. I have
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
She's not gonna like this. I love it. Because I think that it is like the steel being brought in, it's like that industrial modern look. Sorry, I'm a realtor. That's what I do. I think it's cool with the steel and the white, and it's kind of the way things are going, especially being what Unbound is with so much of the technology forward concept and everything. I think it's cool. Sorry.
And I'd add too that I think having all the glass on the front, it will warm it up. You'll see into that you talked about in your last presentation about how, when it's dark outside, there'll be light inside, and a lot of that will transmit out onto the street. You'll be able to see into the building. I think that'll help. And I think it'll be complementary to New Design building across the street. I think they're somewhat similar, and it'll kind of create a cool little vibe there on that street.
Yeah, I was going for maroon, but I guess that's having looked across the street at that building from when I bought Jim's building about 10 years ago, looking across the street at that building with its cinder block facade and spray painted awnings and all that, this is like
that's classy.
Night and day. I mean, it's a great job.
So how will this work procedurally if we need to back that $1,000 out? Do we need to have somebody make a motion to that, or?
Yeah, the new amount, if you reduce the overall cost of $2,000, 50% of that would be $51,982.50.
Say that again, 51?
$51,982.50.
Okay, so does anyone have any more questions for Gretchen while we have her? If not, thank you for joining us. Thanks for the overview.
Thank you.
Victor, would you read the title of the resolution, please?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, this is resolution number 20-004, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, conditionally approving the facade improvement application from the Meridian Library District, attached hereto as Exhibit A, subject to negotiation and execution of a recipient agreement, and authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the resolution and providing an effective date.
Thank you. I guess before I ask for motion too, I should make disclosure. Todd suggested that I do this. I represented the Meridian Library District on the acquisition of that property, but I've been paid and I have no financial interest in the outcome of this decision, so he said it was fair to go ahead and vote.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. Commissioner Vlasic.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve resolution number 20-004 with a maximum distribution from our for $51,982.50 upon completion.
Second.
So motion by Commissioner Vlasic, a second by Commissioner DeVere. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll go to a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
Commissioner Bassalone?
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Berndt?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. When was the anticipated opening date?
October.
Sweet.
We're just about to move into permitting with the city and our project.
We all look forward to it.
Thank you for support.
Good luck with the board.
All right, and on to election of officers, I guess. My name's on this one. No one else has spoken up and said they want to be an officer.
You're doing a great job, Chairman.
Nathan's not here, so if anybody would like to nominate him for chairman. This would be a great time. Or secretary, ready to go. But yeah, as we've discussed previously, I think the three of us that are the officers currently are all willing to stay on in the same positions. And we said if anybody else was interested to please speak up, and no one else did. So not that you have to speak up, you're free to if you're interested to say that now, but unless there's any, you know, anyone thinks anything differently, we'd just open up nominations and you know, just say that the three of us are willing to continue on in those roles. So do we have any nominations?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Byrne.
I would like to nominate Dave Winder as chairman of the MDC board.
Do we need to vote each one separately?
Last year we did it as just one slate.
We can do it as a slate.
Last year we just did it as a slate.
Can I add to that that motion, Chairman Winder?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Since you didn't get a second, yes.
Yeah.
I would like to nominate Dave Winder as chairman, Nathan Mueller as vice chairman, and Steve Vlasic as secretary treasurer of the NBC board, Meridian, Idaho.
I second that.
83642.
Where does it change to 83646?
Fairview. Legit.
She seconded it.
Who seconded it?
Me.
Yeah.
So do we need to do anything with nomination? I mean, is that enough to
Sometimes you can close it.
Okay.
That's what we did last year.
Okay, so a motion by Commissioner Byrne and then a second by Commissioner Beard. You seconded it for that slate of candidates. Do we vote on ourselves or do we all vote?
We sure can.
Yeah.
Okay.
We hope you support your candidates.
The resolution is already written to include your all's names in there. Todd went ahead and took the liberty of doing so. So if you want to read, if you want to read the resolution,
so
you potentially could do that.
Resolution then.
Okay. Well, second, no, it'll still carry. Or is that what you're saying?
Yep, did you get the votes? Yeah, you didn't want to
be interested. I don't know.
Sorry, you might not.
I didn't. Hold up. Here it is.
There you go. Mr. Chairman, this is resolution number 20-005, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, recognizing the public meeting wherein new officers were elected for the agency, acknowledging that such election was done in furtherance and compliance with the agency bylaws as amended, and providing an effective date.
Do we have a motion on the resolution then? Commissioner Bassett.
Chair, I move that we approve resolution number 20-005 as read into the record and thank the nominees for running.
I second that. So motion by Commissioner Bassett and a second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic.
Oh, humble aye.
Commissioner Bassett.
A non-humble aye.
Commissioner DeVere.
Yeah, no humility here. Aye. Okay.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne.
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Aye.
I guess I'll be an aye too.
Atta boy.
There you go. We'll do it for another year.
That's
so.
Okay.
Thanks for your support, everybody.
Thank you. All kidding aside, Mr. Chair, you guys do a great job.
Thank you.
Appreciate all you guys
Thank
do.
You.
Time's money, and it's a, you know, get a lot of glory in what we do, and but it's an important job. We appreciate it.
And Ashley makes us look good too.
No doubt about that.
And Todd too.
Todd, yeah.
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 So. Victor's great up on deck. He's always on deck,
yeah.
Right, you know.
I jinxed him the other day when I saw him. I'm like, we haven't had a chance to see you this year, and
sure enough, later
here we
that
are.
Day, Todd emailed me.
Here we are.
Here you go. All right, Old Town Lofts update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packet are the weekly updates that we've received since our last meeting. We do have our monthly construction meeting with the Pacific West Builders tomorrow in the actually council chambers.
Mr. Chairman, how long is it going to be Orange Bowl and City up there inside of City?
That'll be a great question. You should attend the meeting tomorrow and ask that question.
Do you have any idea?
I don't.
Yeah. Mr. Chair?
Yeah, when I made the right turn off of Main Street onto Broadway, and the right lane is blocked off, so you have to use the left turn lane as the right lane. It's a bit confusing to know whether that's still a left turn lane and whether the right lane is just blocked off. So maybe when they could put some signage or something that says, you know, go east, go west, young man.
Looks like you going to be at the meeting.
Yeah,
looks like, yeah, we're both going to be there.
I'll rely on you. I'll take care of business.
We'll put you on the agenda.
Oh, boy.
It's something we can bring up.
Absolutely. We can ask questions.
Yeah, just any confusion with traffic could cause an accident.
And I'm sure there's some mandates by ACHD and how they line that out as well, too, in terms.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Big trucks can't get through those cars.
Because you live on the south side. Those of us that live on the north side, we don't have to deal with construction.
I'm central meridian. I'm dead center.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, you're barely there. Doesn't count.
I consider myself central, old school.
Whatever.
I had to drive from the freeway to Star down 10 Mile. It was ridiculous.
You got
to
make a big swoop.
Well, and there was flaggers every half mile at different spots.
Yeah,
and
who was that construction?
It took forever to get through that section.
That construction.
Train professionals.
Everything is under construction in Meridian
really
right now. Yeah. It's like, who schedules this stuff?
Is there anything else for Old Town?
No, I mean it's just going to be under construction for a while.
Civic Block.
No, they took it off.
So Civic Block Meridian Station update. As you know, we've just approved the eligibility report, so you're up to speed on that portion of the project. Meridian Station, the first phase for the CUP, the only item that's up for the CUP is for the height that they are requesting. Old Town has a height limitation of 75 feet. They're asking for 100 feet. A lot of that is due to the additional parking that they are putting into the building. You can only go so far down because of high groundwater and the costs that come along with that. The Planning and Zoning Commission last week on Thursday evening was very disappointing, and was tabled. This item was tabled until next Thursday, and
which
I'm hoping.
A good thing.
I thought it was going to be a good thing until I realized one of the commissioners is not going to be there. Mr. Fitzgerald, and there is a high likelihood.
You can call in.
Yeah.
Do you know where they are? They're
in Puerto Vallarta?
Yeah. You can't. I'll talk to them.
All right.
Yeah. You take that up with them. With him.
Yeah.
With an umbrella drink in his hand.
So the big issue is whether or not we're going to get to a point where we're going to actually be able to get an approval, or whether or not Galena is going to have to appeal to the city council for the height exception that they're requesting.
I was just going to ask, there were only four commissioners there last week, right? How many are going to be there next week?
Well, I'm hoping Mrs. McCarville might be there, and then the other board member is kind of a wild card from what I understand, and I don't remember their name offhand. I don't think the two that were voting in opposition are going to be able to get there, unfortunately, in terms of approval.
Can a commissioner, let's say who,
Commissioner Fitzgerald,
absentee ballot.
Not Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Maybe another one.
Yes.
Send in comments.
So we are working on getting written comments in.
Or
As of today, I have commitment of about 10 local businesses and property owners in downtown who are very supportive of the project and the height exception. Those written comments will be submitted to the city clerk by next Tuesday. My understanding is they're not going to open the testimony up for public testimony. The applicant will have the opportunity to answer additional questions and present additional information. And then hopefully a decision will be made.
So how can they accept additional information and restrict public testimony?
I think it's additional information per the questions that are being asked. At least that's how it was described to me from the city side of things.
Hmm.
So I do know that from Galena's point of view, they're going to have their legal counsel there, and Bill Truax will be there as well. That was a big challenge, is that New Design Architecture were the ones presenting versus Galena, and we've made it very clear that Galena needs to be answering these questions and putting a face to this project. We had a number of business owners, not property owners, come out against the project because they keep saying that it's a parking issue. What they don't understand is if the height is lowered, then parking is going to be reduced, and there truly will be an issue at that point. So it was an unfortunate meeting. It was disappointing on a number of levels, but I'm hoping that we can rebound this next week on March 5th, Thursday, 6 p.m. I would love to see board members there, just at least in support, sitting in support. I know.
All right,
who's the vice chair of that commission?
What day and time is that meeting?
Next Thursday at 6.
Thursday at 6.
Lisa?
Yes, sir.
It is.
Which is good.
Yeah, they just need to make sure everyone's there. I get Ryan's gonna be out of town, it's fine, but like, it's important Mr.
Well,
Seal's there.
They're still, okay, let's be clear. So this is a trip for my work.
You don't have to justify it.
No, but there's a chance that he's not gonna be able to go because of state legislature anyway.
Oh, really? So I'm
yeah.
Me and you?
So you get on the list, there's a waiting list of people who would like to attend in this place. So there's still a chance that he'll end up here because it depends on.
It happens. Totally happens.
Bill, so.
It happens. So, but we just need to make sure that Commissioner Seal is there.
And he'll be here.
So, because the other two, Holland, Carville, Casinelli,
and he's voting no against it.
So, I think that six people, just need to make sure that Mr. Seal is there.
Okay.
And call your legislator and ask him to stall certain legislation.
So that is the latest and greatest update at this point.
The spa fund.
If anyone has any other questions about it, please let me know.
That's all I'll be doing if I play by myself.
Sorry, Ashley.
You're fine. We're off on the deep end here, but no, it's this is kind of where things stand, and I think we were all surprised because we've been encouraging the height because we knew we were getting parking in conjunction with it, but.
What is the comment we always make? No good deed goes unpunished.
Of course.
Right? So it's a good deed, we go forward.
How tall is the SAMHSA's?
I don't know the answer to that. I know City Hall's 67 and a half. And I know there's some buildings out at 10 Mile that are like 85 from what Bill Parsons was able to pull up.
Is that 75 not limited to downtown? It's limited to the entire city?
I don't know about I can't speak to the rest of the city, but I know 75 for Old Town.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
All right. Upcoming baby.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, on the last pages of your packets are the upcoming committee meetings. Trying to see, like, I put the Meridian Station, which is now being rebranded to Union 93.
Why?
Well, Union Pacific, and Meridian was established in 1893. So I have that on here. I've included our Civic Block weekly meetings. Anyone is welcome to attend if you ever have the interest. We have our Main to Meridian monthly stakeholder meeting tomorrow, MDBA general meeting this Friday. The Chamber is having their Economic Excellence Luncheon on March 12th at West Ada. Marlene Trump, the new president at BSU, is the speaker. So if you're interested.
Council's report.
Mr. Chair, nothing to report.
How's Todd doing down there?
Busy, as usual.
Administrator's report.
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman's report, I don't have anything further to add either. Public comment? Well, is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Burr.
I move that we adjourn the meeting.
Second. Motion by Commissioner Burr, and second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That was unanimous.